ever given to a people at any time in the history of the world. And we, with the deaf, the blind, the indifferent world around us, will be rolled up with the old world order. And a new, different order of Baha'is will be rolled out in our stead. Who will win the victory for the blessed beauty by the purity of their lives, the consecration of their hearts, and the ardor of their service. Is it any wonder the beloved Master would entreat us repeatedly, "Why are ye silent? Shout! Why are ye sitting? Move!" And there's only one way. We must bring in thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of believers into the cause of God. Not tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or surely after Rizwan, but now, right bang on now. Do you agree? Well, beloved friends, I'd like to repeat as I'm coming to the end now those wonderful words of our beloved guardian about our supreme universal house of justice. Wherever I go, I never fail to share these with the friends. They're so important, so we'll know who those men are on the side of that mountain and what is happening there in the mountain of God. And therefore, we'll know who we are as the followers of Baha'u'llah. We'll understand unmistakably that source of immediate guidance, power, and majesty that guides us. You know the same love, honor, and service which the hands of the cause of God rendered to our beloved guardian, the sign of God on earth, we now offer unhesitatingly to our supreme universal house of justice, and we are sustained by their love, their kindness, and their guidance. I am paraphrasing the beloved guardian's words. May they be burned into our hearts in letters of gold upon tablets of chrysolite, for the world has never seen their like. The mighty edifice, the universal house of justice, will be erected, raising high its noble frame above the world of existence. The unity of the followers of Baha'u'llah will thus be realized and fulfilled from one end of the earth to the other. And the living waters of everlasting life will stream forth from that fountainhead of God's world order upon all the warring nations and peoples of the world to wash away the evils and iniquities of the realm of dust and heal man's age-old ills and ailments. Through it, the universal house of justice, the ardent hopes of the people of Baha will be realized. Through it, the pillars of the faith on this earth will be firmly established, and its hidden powers be revealed, its signs shine forth, its banners be unfurled, and its light shed upon all peoples. Then, with the coming of the universal house of justice, will all our cherished hopes and aspirations be realized. The tree of our endeavors bear fruit, and the hidden powers of the cause of our Lord be fully manifested. And then will be unveiled before our eyes the inauguration of an era, the like of which has never been witnessed in past ages. Well, aren't we lucky? Now that we know even more about the wonder of our supreme universal house of justice from our beloved guardian, let us listen for this last time during this study class, perhaps with spiritual ears for the first time, to the ringing call of the universal house of justice to each one of us, to arise and bring in the masses. They also tell us, again, repeatedly, that teaching and consolidation must go hand in hand, and what that really means. So let us listen, really listen this time, to divine infallible guidance, and save ourselves, our committees, our assemblies, hours of fruitless discussion, and oceans of tribulations. Ready? I'm quoting. Every individual follower of Baha'u'llah, as well as the institutions of the faith at local, national, continental, and world levels, must now meet the challenge to raise the intensity of teaching to a pitch never before obtained in order to realize that vast increase called for in the plan. Simultaneous and co-equal with this vast, ordered, and ever-growing teaching effort, the work of consolidation must go hand in hand. In fact, these two processes must be regarded as inseparable parts of the expansion of the faith, while the work of teaching inevitably goes first, to pursue it alone without consolidation would leave the community unprepared to receive the masses who must sooner or later respond to the life-giving message of the cause. From this vital, this ever-present need, attention must at no time be diverted, nor must it be under any circumstances neglected or subordinated to the no less vital and urgent task of ensuring the outer expansion of the Baha'i administrative institutions. A proper balance between these two essential aspects of its development must, from now on, as we enter the era of large-scale conversion, be maintained by the Baha'i community. Consolidation must comprise not only of the establishment of Baha'i administrative institutions, but a true deepening in the fundamental verities of the cause and in its spiritual principles, understanding of its prime purpose in the establishment of the unity of mankind, instruction in its standards of behavior in all aspects of private and public life, in the particular practice of Baha'i life in such things as daily prayer, education of children, observance of the laws of Baha'i marriage, abstention from politics, the obligation to contribute to the fund, the importance of the 19-day feast, and opportunity to acquire a sound knowledge of the present-day practice of Baha'i administration. Now, it seems, we may well be entering an era of the longed-for expansion of our beloved faith. Mankind's growing hunger for spiritual truth is our opportunity. As humanity plunges deeper into that condition of which Baha'u'llah wrote, "To disclose it now would not be meet and seemly," so must the believers increasingly stand out as assured, orientated, and fundamentally happy beings, conforming to a standard which, in direct contrast to the ignoble and amoral attitudes of modern society, is the source of their honor, strength, and maturity. It is this marked contrast between the vigor, unity, and discipline of the Baha'i community on the one hand, and the increasing confusion, despair, and feverish tempo of a doomed society on the other, which, during the turbulent years ahead, will draw the eyes of humanity to the sanctuary of Baha'u'llah's world-redeeming faith. The constant progress of the cause of God is a source of joy to us all, and a stimulus to further action, but not ordinary action. Heroic deeds are now called for, such as are performed only by divinely sustained and detached souls. End of quotation. Are the heroes and heroines here today who will arise to perform those heroic deeds? Has the time at last come? Has it come at last? And finally, beloved friends, these tender words from our beloved guardian, who is always the source of joy and inspiration to the hands of the cause of God. He is the sun, and we are but the moons to his sun, and without him we are less than the dust. We have no light of our own, we take our light from him. We are the remnants of his overshadowing cloak of tenderness and love to all of us. So I'll close with these words of his to each one of us. Now is the time to set aside, nay, to forget altogether, minor considerations regarding our internal relationships, and present a solid, united front to the world, animated by no other desire but to serve and propagate his cause. With hearts cleansed from the least trace of suspicion, and filled with hope and faith in what the spirit of love can achieve, we must one and all endeavor at this moment to forget past impressions, and with absolute goodwill and genuine cooperation, unite in deepening and diffusing the spirit of love and service that the cause has thus far so remarkably shown to the world. Let us be on our guard, lest too much concern in that which is secondary in importance, and too long a preoccupation with the details of our affairs and activities, make us neglect the most essential, the most urgent of all our obligations, namely to bury our cares and teach the cause, delivering far and wide this message of salvation to a sorely stricken world. Let us pray to God that in these days of world-encircling gloom, when the dark forces of nature, of hate, rebellion, anarchy, and reaction are threatening the very stability of human society, when the most precious fruits of civilization are undergoing severe and unparalleled tests, we may all realize, more profoundly than ever, that though but a mere handful amidst the seething masses of the world, we are in this day the chosen instruments of God's grace, that our mission is most urgent and vital to the fate of humanity. And fortified by these sentiments, arise to achieve God's holy purpose for mankind. Goodbye, until we meet again, face to face, in some far off or nearby pioneering post.